You two guys have been fangirling over a moment that happened here last week, and you're still fangirling on it this morning, and this is just so fun that I just want to talk about it and let everybody in on your big man crush.
Okay, go
do
for
it. Okay, so we were on a big conference call the other day, a short conference call, in this industry, if you will. And one of the people who jumped in and said something was Martha Quinn.
The Martha Quinn.
The Martha Quinn from MTV back in the day.
Some Australian music here on MTV. That is the Little River Band doing Night Owls. I'm Martha Quinn, Mr. Yep. Alan Hunter.
And she was one of those original VJs.
She still works in the media industry. She's really great, actually. Yeah. And so she, you know, said something on the call and made a little joke. And you two, I think you were both blushing. I got to see the 15-year-old Murphy and Sam firsthand.
That's Martha Quinn.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Say it again.
Do you know that you both looked at each other like, it was so cute. And you actually had an accidental run-in with her in the industry, didn't you, Sam?
Yeah, I had a run-in with her a couple years ago. I'd sent an email to somebody
and accidentally
put her on it. It wasn't for her. It was for somebody else.
Uh-oh.
And she replied, "Hey, Sam, great to meet you. I'm guessing I got this email by mistake." And so me, seeing that I accidentally emailed Martha Quinn, I fangirled here, too. My bad. It's cool that it was Martha Quinn that I screwed up with, smiley face.
And what did she send back?
Nothing.
Aww. Well,
that was when she read it and went, loser.
Yeah. No,
I wonder if her perspective was like, oh, this wasn't a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, it was. I swear. I didn't say.
Right. She knows who she is, and she understands what she means to our generation, especially boys of our generation, I think.
I love that. That whole MTV VJ bunch is still, that is pure childhood, you know?
You know what? I just realized the picture I have on my company profile.
It's, I think
I'm wearing a t-shirt that says loser.
I've always thought you should change that. You have sunglasses on, you have a shirt on that says loser.
I wonder why she didn't email back.
I was going to say, at least you preempted yourself once you sent the email.
Yeah, you really said all you needed to say, because I promise you she checked that out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, Martha.
And I'm sorry, guys, to tell you that I don't think she's going to be on any calls this week.
No, that's okay. That was last week's Friday favorite for me.
That's right.
Most common things that couples argue about.
Money.
I didn't say you could start guessing.
I always thought finances were at the top of the list. Although, Jody, that's not something that you and I argue about.
No. It's not. I almost wish it was. Do you even know what we argue most about? I had to think about it. Looking at this made me think about it.
I don't know. Go down the list. I need some help.
Ours isn't on the list.
Oh.
We're weird.
That's a separate category.
I'll give you the list quickly, then I'll tell you what Murphy and I argue the most about,
okay.
I think. Number 5 on the list, who pays the bills or money?
Yeah.
Number 4, what to watch on TV. Really? But I guess. Number 3, leaving stuff lying around.
I see
the house.
That one. I can understand that one.
Yeah. I still don't think that's the most, although it's up there. At our house. Number 2, not cleaning stuff up, not wiping down things, you know, just leaving junk or what, not being clean.
Same as the other one there.
It's similar. Yeah. It's similar, but like not wiping up where you ate or something like that.
Okay.
Number 1, this is weird. Leaving lights on or leaving things undone, leaving lights on, cabinets open, just the way you leave things.
And that's the top argument?
Those are the top. Apparently. Isn't that weird? I always thought money should be at the top, and on this list, money's at the top. This is who they surveyed.
If that's the top number one, that means a lot of people are nitpicky, huh?
Yes, and you know this, Sam. You're a very nitpicky person, but when you live with somebody, something nitpicky can become a mountain because of the frequency of it.
Yeah.
That's what gets you is the frequency.
And it can become a mountain if you don't address it.
I can see the... Those two about cleanliness, I get that. I mean, I really do. If you're not cleaning up after yourself, that's the place you're living.
It's about how you feel.
If food sits out for a couple of days, that's nasty. You know what I mean?
Gross.
And I guess in extreme situations, if there's somebody that literally just doesn't clean up after themselves, I can see that sparking a family argument.
I can see that can make you not be attracted to someone. What
is ours?
If I had to look at it, from above, like I'm not in it, I feel like we argue the most about time and schedules and being on time and just not being in this. We're not the same people when it comes to time.
Yeah.
Who would be the bassist for that?
That's true.
We're both the bassist for it because we're not well matched in that particular arena. You agree? Wouldn't you say, Sam? You've seen this every day.
We got the Hollywood Outsider coming up next.
I think Sam wants to insert himself in this.
Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Brought to you by Indeed.
Did you hear that the third season of White Lotus, the location, has been announced?
Oh, good.
Did you know this? Okay, so the first season was in Maui.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Sicily or in Italy.
And yeah, the second one in Sicily. They even went to the scene of one of the Godfather movie scenes. And then the third season, which is not really, it's probably still being written. It's going to be set in Thailand.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because they had mentioned Southeast Asia as the possible next one.
And they'll probably stick with the same sort of resort, the resort theme. The other news about White Lotus is that Jennifer Aniston is obsessed with it and has worked with the creator before, Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
He's the creator of the show. And she has said, I'm obsessed with this show. I would love to come on board. When he won a Golden Globe for Best Limited TV Series, because it is a limited TV series, he said, you all passed on it. Jennifer Aniston backstage said, I never got a call. She could be in the next one because she has made, like, you know, the statement that she'd like to do it.
Yeah.
So in case you want to catch up, it's not for children. Sam's obsessed with it. It's called White Lotus, and it's on HBO Max.
Social Media Connect.
You know, we'd love to hear from you on Instagram, on Facebook. You can email us at murphysamandjody.com. You can even jump in, 877-310-4MSJ. We've been touching on what couples argue about most. Usually it's small little things that build up and you feel like you're going crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, 5 times a week is how many times a week couples argue. 5. That sounds like a lot.
So no, wait a second.
That sounds like a lot.
If you go back to the list, and that means 5 times a week arguing about TV, what you're going to watch? Or
I don't know. It's just that's an average of.
Yeah, I'm just curious if those arguments are like full blown arguments or just little
like,
hey, you forgot to forgot to pick up your dish again.
Yeah.
More of a moment than an argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the couple, truly. Okay, but from your comments, I'm loving reading these. Said in a word or two, what do you argue most about as a couple? Cheryl says, keeping useless broken things. I'm inscribing, throw it away on my headstone. His will read, keep it.
Yeah.
April says, what I say versus what he hears.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's really true for all couples.
That goes the other way, too, though.
It does. It really does. Brandy, procrastination. We both wait until the last minute to do anything. Wow. Kind of on the same page there, at least, Brandy.
Well, at least Brandy didn't wait to email us.
I know, she was fast.
She meant to when we did this last year.
Megan included how to pronounce route. Or route.
Route. Route.
Oh.
I think I say route. I never thought about it.
Well, it's Route 66, and you know.
So in a word or two, what you argue most about with your spouse. Kristen said, why the floor is not the place for all of his socks. I always find his socks. Helen says, his mother.
Oh, hey.
I hate that. That is a delicate. No, I will say this to any spouse listening.
Yeah.
Anything you say about a parent to your spouse, be very careful. The love of a parent, despite any fault, the love of a parent goes so deep. You have to be careful.
Right. Even if you're speaking the truth.
See?
That is not specific to anybody.
Sure it is, Murphy.
It's not. Wait to get that out.
It's not.
Jody, you talking about cooking in cast iron a little earlier in the show.
Yes, it's fab.
It reminded me that Murphy gave me his dad, mom and dad's or dad's, the big giant 12-inch cast iron.
Ooh.
And also the pot.
Yes.
Right.
And so.
Are you asking if I want it back?
That's what I'm going to offer. I mean, if the thing is, at the time, y'all weren't into cast iron cooking. But if you're going to get into cast iron cooking, maybe I should wait a couple of weeks to see if you're really into this. And if you want it, give it back. Because I used the skillet like 3 times over the holidays. I made pizza a couple times, made cornbread once.
Yeah. And that was brand new. I think that one even still had the label in it, right?
Yeah.
Did you have to season it first?
That was a pre-season pot.
Okay.
But I mean, I put bacon grease in it every time I use it.
Yeah. So what are you asking, if I want the pot?
Well, I mean, if
you
you're
don't
gonna
use the pot?
No, I've used the pot before, too. I'm just saying, I know it was a gift, but it's like, if you're going to start doing it.
No, don't give. No, I don't want it back. Okay. And he wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want it back, would you?
No, not really. Would
you give someone a gift?
Actually, I think it's too big for the drawer, so
you keep it, Sam. It's yours. It was given because we wanted you to have it.
Oh, okay.
You really are the expert cook. Not that Jody's not. I'm not saying that she's not. I'm just saying you're the cast iron man.
Not to be confused with Iron Man.
Yeah. You ever ride in a car as a passenger with someone who you don't think is driving fast enough?
Fast enough?
Yeah. Oh, wait, Sam, is this because you rode with your son Sam the other day?
Yes.
He was driving slowly?
Yes.
Isn't that what you want from your son?
Not if you're Sam and impatient.
You don't want your children to be speed demons, you know?
Yes. You want everybody to be safe and you know, that. It's just that I don't know. I mean, maybe it's me and I'm just super impatient.
You are.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's okay. But, you know, there's a light that we went to, and I know this light, and this light is, if you don't dilly-dally, you can make the light, but if you dilly-dally, you don't. And he dilly-dallied, and the whole time, you know, I'm sitting there in the seat doing that thing where you push the car forward, like, come on,
we can make
the light. And I don't want to say anything, like, you know, if you just step on the gas, we'll make the light. And there was a couple other times where we hit lights or we were just like putt, and I couldn't see exactly how fast he was driving. It's just everybody was passing us.
And didn't say anything?
No.
That's what must be horrible.
I save
about
it so I can tell everybody here.
Indirectly address it.
Yes. And I didn't want to. And the thing is, every time he would start talking to me, it's like, I could feel it slowing down. Aww. And he would talk.
Oh, is that? He's one of those where, like, if he's on the phone or talking to a person,
everybody does
down.
That. Mm-hmm. Everyone does that, though. Like, if you're on the phone.
But even there were times where we were just driving and it was just like, oh. I'm glad I don't ride with him on a permanent basis.
Do you think he was going more slowly because he was driving his dad?
Don't know. Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should have asked, is this how you, but again, you know,
yeah,
is this how slow you usually drive?
Yes. The way you ask the question is everything.
Exactly. It's not a question. Yeah. It's an insult.
This is an example of you, Sam, the conflict that is you. Inside of you, because we know how very impatient you are, yet you also are non-confrontational. So all of your impatience just festers internally.
Yeah.
You never get it out.
Yeah.
Well, here you did.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Jumping into your comments from Instagram and Facebook, we're talking about things that couples argue about the most. Sam, you've been coupled up a few times, and I think it'd be cool for you to say whether you've argued about some of this stuff, because I bet you have. It's very common.
Yeah.
It's very human.
Because I'm also a nitpicky person, too.
It's sweet that
so
you
know that.
So
sometimes I get in my own way.
Did you always know that, or is that a new realization?
Let's start with marriage one.
I'm just wondering. I don't care. I'm just wondering.
No, I probably became that. Not became. I probably realized it in the first marriage.
Yeah. Okay. So you're aware, at least. That's beautiful that you're aware.
I don't have to worry about it now.
Marla said, I know. You get to please only yourself now. Yeah. Look, there are some, you know, there's quite a few. Lisa, Steve, quite a few single. I don't.
Yeah.
Single. I'm free of all that fun stuff. Marla says temperature of the house.
Mm.
They argue about.
I guess if somebody's cold-natured and the other is hot-natured, that could be a deal.
Yes. Amy says air conditioning.
Yeah.
Yep. Cheryl says his driving and lack of neatness. Murphy feels the driving one, and I'm sorry.
Well, I used to be, I used to be guilty of being part of the problem on the driving one, you know? So.
What do you mean?
I mean, I was probably, I mean, more frustrated than I should have been on the road at times. Now I'm dialed back more. You know, the only problem, the only argument that you and I have is when I have to explain, okay, it's a dotted yellow line. It's okay for me to pass here, Jody.
I thought it was because you used both hands when you used to prick your finger and one knee on the wheel while the other knee had your sandwich.
Oh, so you've ridden with Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one reason I got the CGM. I don't do that.
Cheryl
anymore.
Also says, he leaves coffee rings, wadded up paper towels. He does not know how to close a drawer or cabinets.
But she loves
so
him.
So that's about neatness. Look, it's that's those are the
that
things.
That was three things.
That you, when you are newly with someone and you're in love, you overlook those things and you haven't lived with them for decades. No. You don't know that the things that you overlook because of love might drive you insane as you get
older.
The
most beautiful person in the world. You love them to death, but wait a second.
Right.
They left the toilet seat up.
Yeah. Which I don't do, by the way, Sam.
Okay.
In a house full of nothing but women, the seat's
quick to
down,
jump
baby.
Up on that. We love hearing from you. Keep it coming on Instagram and Facebook.
Trending now, Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Powered by eBay.
Hollywood's favorite bromance, well, my favorite bromance, is Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Remember, they first teamed up. Well, they've teamed up probably in their backyard together for a long time, but they teamed up on the big screen in True Detective.
Do you wonder ever, you're a bad man?
That first season?
Well, Nate's bad man.
They were great together.
They made that show.
Oh, my gosh. And they're both so good. We all know Matthew McConaughey. I don't know if you've ever experienced the dramatic work of Woody Harrelson. He's so good.
Yeah, he is.
He's not just what's his name from Cheers, Woody. He is so good dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaming up together, but this is comedy. They're going to do this Apple TV comedy series where they sort of play a form of themselves, which is weird to me. Their families are going to try to live on the McConaughey ranch and see if we can all get together, which means they and remain friends, which means they've probably already filmed a ton of it.
Oh, yeah.
10 episodes. Oh. There's no release date yet, but man, that's going to be the show to watch. Maddie and Woody just hanging out on a ranch with the family. I hope it's funny and I hope it's good. Once we have the title and the date, we will let you know. How to cancel plans with your friends and still keep those friends.
Okay.
When
but
I
not the plans.
When I mentioned that we were going to be doing this, Sam, you were chuckling and you were affected. Why does this touch you?
Because
canceling.
Because of Cartoon Head. Because I'm instantly thinking of ways to break plans with people. You know, that,
okay.
Lies. Far-fetched lies.
Okay. So let me drop this on you.
Yeah.
Bad news. The number one thing not to do is to make up some story. First of all, if they're your friends, they know when you're lying. If you think that you could lie to me and Murphy about changing plans and we wouldn't know it, well, you probably have.
Great. He probably has.
Truth be told. Right? But the word is honesty is the best policy, even if it's late in the day. Because we've all been there. We've all said, yes, I want to go to that. Count me in.
But what
and
if
then
you,
the day comes and you're tired or...
What if you have something you don't want to go to? I guess it's not canceling plans. It's just like, I don't really want to do that.
Honesty again.
Yeah,
your
it
friends
is.
Know you, Eeyore.
And it would be, try to do that on the front end, I guess. You know what I mean? Don't commit in the first place if you know it's something you don't like.
Mm-hmm. Although I will say this, in your defense, Sam, we have been in sort of a culture where people don't want to say no, where you want to please and you want to say yes and you want to be all of those things. You want to be everything. Right? We've heard about having it all. That doesn't mean you have to say yes, because having it all also means having your peace sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, all the participants in this study, they say, you know, that canceling, like if your friends cancel on you, as long as they're honest, it's not going to affect the friendship. They don't like last minute. So if you can keep it from being like, if you're 2 or 3 in the afternoon and you know you're not feeling an 8 o'clock dinner, go ahead and let them know as soon as possible. Don't wait till 7:30 and don't say, I can't find my cat. Don't
what
lie.
Do you say? I'm just not feeling it?
Yes, I don't feel well. I need to stay home tonight. I've had friends cancel for those reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got a lot going on. I'm too worn out.
Yeah.
That is the human, honest way to be. And I think that it would just strengthen your friendship.
Let me write that down. I've got too much going on.
And I can't find my cat.
And I can't find my cat. Gotcha.
Connect with us anytime on Instagram or Facebook. You can also give us a call, 877-3104-MSJ.
Yeah, that's fun, too. What's going on, Jerry?
So I love the fact that you named your rescue dog Hazel.
Yes.
Because I have a rescue cat. her name is the Duchess Hazel. And yes, she is going to be 22 years old in May.
What? Oh, what wow. are you feeding her?
Well, she is the love of my life. My children come and go, but my cat has been there the whole time.
No kidding. No kidding. What do you feed her, really?
Actually, she just eats Purina One.
Wow.
And she gets whatever she wants at this point.
No kidding. Yeah. That's the oldest cat I've ever heard of.
Yeah. She's old. She's old enough to drink.
Hey, answer me this, Jerry. When cats reach 22 years old, do they still ignore you?
Pretty much, yes.
All right. I got that to look forward to.
That's a universal thing.
She's the queen of the household. Even though we have a dog, we have a new puppy. He's 9 months old.
Oh, wow.
But she's still, he's 55 pounds, but he doesn't mess with Hazel.
Yeah, wow. So she's awesome.
So unfortunately, at this point, she needs stairs to get on the bed. She needs stairs to get on the sofa.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's still walking around doing her thing.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing her with us.
Yeah, absolutely. When I heard your dog named Hazel, I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I have a Hazel.
Yeah. Hazel lives on. It's a great name. It's a great name.
Yes, it is.
I know.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry.
A 22-year-old cat. Unbelievable. When you have a really old pet, I'm going to throw this out. Pet sitters, you will know what I mean. It makes you, I would be nervous to babysit the Duchess Hazel.
Why?
Because she's 22 years old.
Oh, because something's going to happen while you're watching her?
We watched our neighbor's dog years ago, Dana and Jay's poodle. And it was the oldest dog.
She was a sweetheart. She was like 19 years old.
I was so nervous that she was going to check out while they were on vacation on our watch.
And she was such a frail little sweetheart because she couldn't see, she couldn't hear. You picked her up to put her outside to go to the bathroom. I mean, it's just,
I was so nervous about that. So shout out mad love to the Duchess Hazel.
The Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast is a really easy way to catch up on anything that you miss. You can subscribe to it for free. You know, favorite podcast provider, whoever you use. You can use Apple, you can use whomever you want. Just Google Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.
Guess what one of the biggest Google searches has been in the since the beginning of the new year? Raising chickens has been Googled a ton.
Are you serious?
Guess what? Because of the price of eggs, a lot of people want chickens. They want to have their own eggs. And I'm here to tell you there are pros and cons.
Well, you had chickens as a kid, right?
I did. You know, we lived in the country and there was a whole big barn. And in that barn, the first thing we got were chickens and a rooster. I had to have a rooster and a bunch of hens. And it was my job to gather the eggs. And my dad got me a little basket for it. It looked like an Easter basket almost, although it was countrified. It wasn't pink, you know. But because I was a kid, I found them easy. Yeah. I found them to be low maintenance. My neighbor and friend, who I grew up with, she liked them as if they were pets. Mm. She would, pet chickens and name them and things like that.
The idea of wanting to do this to save you some money, though, it just seems like the long way around.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to get chickens and then chicken feed and you got to have a chicken coop, and it's like, okay, you're starting to run up a price just to save a few bucks on eggs.
Maybe the interest is not just about saving bucks. Maybe it's something you've been interested in anyway. I think there's a certain fascination with it. We know families who've done it.
Oh, and they'll tell you their eggs are superior to anything that's been shipped and travels to a store.
I don't know why that is. I don't know why that is, but something about country eggs or whatever, they're just more golden and flavorful.
And aren't there restrictions usually, like city restrictions for having livestock?
I will say this. Randy, your friend Handy Randy, who lives down the street, a year ago or so, they had a few chickens for the same reason. And then one day we showed up and they got rid of them. And it's like, what happened? And Randy was like, well, Jody, their chickens become problem.
Chicken fried steak?
No. Curious about you. They get closer and closer. They try to come in your house.
Yeah,
and they go to the bathroom constantly.
He also said they're not very bright.
Right.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Cute. I've seen the chicken tic-tac-toe game, and they're pretty.
They're cute. They're fun to watch walk around, I'll tell you that.
social media connect.
From our website, murphysamandjody.com, this came in. Short email from Janet. Who has the funny laugh? I love it. Janet, that would be Sam.
Sam.
Well, we're assuming, yeah.
Ever since I've known him. It's because Sam finds the funny in everything, even if it's bad.
Especially.
Oh, that's what happens when you have a cartoon brain.
I know. It's an infectious true. Laugh, right. too. We love it, too. Thank you, Janet, for emailing.
Got some serious stuff here, too, Jody. Mm-hmm. This is in relation to last week's After the Show podcast about your osteoporosis.
Yes.
You shared a little more with us. Anna mm-hmm. says, stay positive, mm-hmm. stay diligent, be open with your medical team with how you truly feel.
Yes.
And thank you for using your diagnosis and platform to inform and enlighten others.
Thank you for that.
It's really unusual because you're very young to be diagnosed with this.
Right. So, I have osteoporosis in my spine. That's a question I haven't asked my medical people yet. And it's like, why is it not everywhere then? Because your bones are your bones are your bones. They're everywhere. But it's only in my spine. And I know I can see on the scan exactly where it is in my spine.
Yeah.
And so I am getting an infusion this week, later this week. And what that medicine will do is build bone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm nervous about it. I'm excited about it. But, you know, there's a lot to learn. I'm just learning. I've only learned this a month ago.
Yeah. And you're talking about the spine there, but don't you have some hip issue? And how are they
Thank
fixing
you.
That?
Yes.
I
have osteopenia in my hips and osteoporosis in my back.
Yeah.
And it's just not even something they test for until much later in life. I had a family history of it. So my doctor sent me in for a scan and found it. So yeah. I'm very grateful to be on top of it this early, but it's advanced. I've been told that word. It's advanced where in my back.
Rebecca has a comment too about that podcast. I've worked in orthopedics for many years, and I understood the test for osteoporosis is called either a bone density test mm-hmm. or a DEXA scan.
Mm-hmm.
A bone scan is typically a nuclear medicine test with dye.
Oh.
Just want the verbiage correct for those asking their physicians about it.
Oh, that's okay. A good point.
Then I had a DEXA scan. I had the one where I just lay, it was the most comfortable, lay there in the dark and be comfortable. And the thing went over, not like an MRI, Murphy, went over my body and they had images within 2 minutes.
Wow.
I found out within 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. We love hearing from you on Instagram and Facebook.
Trending now, Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Powered by eBay.
I have a Stranger Things story. There actually is a prequel of sorts on the way. And I thought, this is not real.
Were we joking about that the other day?
I don't know. Were we? But the
it's just like when Vecna was a child.
It's Vecna, not Vecna.
You say it your way, I'll say it mine.
Vecna's his cousin.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's so fun to me. Yeah. The Duffer brothers are involved. There is a play happening in London called Stranger Things, The First Shadow. Hmm. It will premiere in London's West End It focuses on Hawkins back in the day, like early 1960s. Young Jim Hopper, his car won't start. Joyce just wants to graduate and get out of there. And the new student, Henry Creel, arrives.
Oh, okay. I'm like, oh, I see cool. how they're tying it together.
I guess they're just testing the waters with these storylines, because if the Duffer brothers are involved, because they own this, they created this, if it does well there, It could trickle over here, and that means we
Isn't
could.
Isn't that get how it. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child started?
It's true,
it
Sam.
It was a play on the West End, and then it came over here.
It really is the Cursed Child and Vecna. Look for it. I'll let you know for sure. Sam, you know how Murphy reads a lot of what would you call your books?
Paperweights. I call them continuing education. You know, some people would call them self-help, but Atomic Habits.
Improvement.
Great book.
Yeah, okay.
Self-improvement.
It's either management, industry stuff, how to be better at this, that, and the other thing, or it's self-improvement. Okay. Yeah,
I'm a hopeless overachiever.
Oh.
That's a great title. How to be better at this, that, and the other thing. I don't know. It sounds good.
Anyway, but from those books and all of his lifetime of reading this sort of thing, you have spit out, some knowledge over the time that I've known you. And one of the things that you've said forever, and you've said it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I finally get it. I get it. Now, you are right. Uh-oh. I am here to give you that. Murphy has said forever, you know, what wears you out is not doing too much. It's what wears you out is not what time you get up in the morning. What wears you out is switching back and forth between tasks. It wears your brain out.
Well, yeah. That's where they say, you know, multitasking is really deceiving.
Sure.
Because the brain doesn't work that way.
That's it. That's what you've been saying.
It's called task switching. What happens is it just happens so fast. You think you're doing multiple things at a time, but you're really not.
And that
wears you out.
And the reason for years that I've sat there and nodded at you like, uh-huh, is because I am a very good multitasker. When I'm cooking dinner, I'm also doing three other things. You just can't see it. But
yeah.
I've noticed, whatever, new year, no pressure, new year. January, I don't know, sometimes I try to feel that reset mindset, yeah. And I'm realizing it's true. If I'm doing some really good work on sending somebody an email, and then some of my phone dings, or Sam asks me a question, or you say something to me, it's the switching that's like, whoa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does wear you out.
Yeah.
So you're correct.
Yeah, you're trying to focus on, your brain does try to focus on all those things simultaneously, but it can't.
It's why it drains you. So just wanted to throw that out to you.
Well, thank you.
The no pressure new year, if one of the things you want is more energy or clarity, try not to switch in your mind tasks so often.
So you know what I could do? If I've got your attention on this, I'll give you my copy of The Success Plan That Never Fails.
I'm good. Thanks, though.